Hello, this is John Rhys Davis. I play Sala in Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you are listening to Talk Sci-Fi.
Welcome back.
Hi, Jerry.
How are you? We're going to talk about another interesting show on television.
And I know it's your favourite.
It was definitely one of my favourite shows, but I think that was not only because of what it was in, because of the way it portrayed a character and the lead character. And, of course, we're talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes. And I loved that show. I thought it was excellent.
Well, I think most women liked that show because it was one of the very first shows, and the movie, the original movie as well,
yes,
that showed that a young girl could actually achieve quite a lot if she put time, effort and energy into pursuing what she was meant to be.
And it was nice to see a female in the leading role too.
It was.
And being the main protagonist.
I really enjoyed the movie to start off with Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
That was really quite interesting. It was, some of the men were portrayed as wussy bits along the way. And that was interesting. And, of course, we had some really good actors in it. And it was great that Josh Whedon then came along and decided to take that premise and put it into a television show, which lasted a long time.
Well, it lasted 7 seasons, so that's a long time in American TV.
And a spin-off.
Yes.
So not only just one, but so altogether it was about 12 years in terms of television years.
Yes, when you're talking about that, yep.
But I really enjoyed, the one thing about Buffy is that you'd never died. You could always come back, no matter where you went, because Buffy resurrected twice.
Oh, easily.
She was resurrected by Willow at one time, and then she was resurrected, or she died in the first episode, didn't she? First, second episode, and she was resuscitated by Xander. So she had to die, so the master actually, you don't remember all of this.
No, I don't.
She had to die, and the master something, and then she was brought back, and then that kind of thing. Remember that time that we had the new Slayer come in?
Yes, Kendra.
And then Kendra died, and then we had another Slayer come in, Fate, and then we had millions of Slayers come
that was
in.
A bit later,
and
yes.
That was over the 7 years.
Because you even had the gravestone at one stage there.
With Buffy?
Yes.
Well, that she was buried. She died. That was another death. That wasn't the first death. That was her second death. And in fact, because that's when she jumped off in the key. And it's actually quite a convoluted story. And it's quite an interesting story in terms of feminism as well, because, dare I say, the smartest people on the team were actually the women.
Yes.
Xander was not what you would call the bright light.
No.
Although when Oz came along, he was quite a clever little boy.
Oh, he was clever, but he still wasn't.
No, he was.
He wasn't a shining light compared to Willow.
No, no, but he was he's intelligent because they were both recruited for that organization.
Well, that's intelligence true.
So she actually did meet her match. And it was probably one of the first stories that brought out a homosexual relationship in such young people, basically on television.
Well, it was a television show that started in the 90s, and even that type of show was taboo still to be talking about homosexuality.
Well, still is in some parts of America. Although I think we've regressed, I think we were slightly more enlightened in a few years in the 70s, 80s and 90s, and we've gone back in some of those ways. Because it was mainstream television, it wasn't, as far as I'm aware, on cable. It was on ordinary. I mean, there's shows on cable. If you don't want it, you don't have to buy it. But Buffy, although there was a couple of years I didn't let my young daughter watch until later because of relationship as they got older, it was a great influence, I think, for young women.
Definitely. And the other thing is, too, it had a strong cast around that particular Buffy character as well, because we had Scooby Gang. So we had Giles, you know, so you had the mentor and the...
It's funny the way that the mentor comes smart guy in the library was an Englishman.
Yes. I like that.
It's very stereotypical, though.
I had a soft spot for Giles. I really liked
but
Giles.
But it was very stereotypical, isn't it? Sort of Englishmen are pacey and spend time in libraries, where the Americans are very much more the macho...
The gung-ho.
The angels of the, you know, that kind of...
And then you had, for
example...
Well,
they were all English, weren't they? I mean, if we go back to, you said, characters that come in, all the smart ones who were watchers were all English.
They were. But most of the vampires were too. Spike, was English.
Although he's not in person, well, not but in, he was, yes. But
in character-wise, he
Angel
was.
Angel was Irish.
He was supposed to be Irish. His Irish accent was a little bit dodgy.
His Irish accent was crap, actually. Being Irish, I can say that quite. It's very much the Father O'Malley, Bing Crosby type of accent if you're seeing the Bells of St. Mary's.
And then you've got Juliet Lando's character, Drusilla, very English as well.
Well, they are supposed to come over with. It was very difficult, I suppose, for Angel to get involved with Americans when he was in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So the closest thing, of course, would have been Britain or the United Kingdom. So he could easily, well, it wasn't in then days. It was England, so he would have gone over there. So those main characters were formed, some of them before the New World, almost.
But everybody loved Spike.
No, everybody loved to hate and hated to love. It was one of those characters. But
I think everyone.
Angel was nice, but Spike was better.
Yes. It's a bit like Twilight where you had your two teams. So you really had in Buffy your team Angel and your team Spike. For me, I mean, I liked Angel when he first came on, but I really liked Spike
as his character developed. And I actually think that he, in fact, was the better man than Angel because he pursued to make himself a better man, to be a better man for Buffy, including going out to seek his soul.
Yes.
And all that and that kind of stuff and understand it. I think he was a much better rounded character.
Oh, definitely.
Character-wise. And you wouldn't have thought that he was American. But James Marsden's accent as Spike, I thought he was English. I was actually, when I heard him speak with an American accent, I thought, who is this guy? Is he putting on? Because we saw him in another television show. Not long afterwards, Buffy finished.
He was in Smallville.
And it was just weird because he did the English accent very, very well.
Oh, yes.
He did better than the Irish accent done.
Well, when he first came over to Australia, way before you saw other interviews and other shows.
We've actually met Spike.
We have.
We're turning this into a Spike first.
We are, rather than who we're talking to. But I remember our friend Therese had gone to see him. It was before we started going to cons and, in a big way. Plus, it was too expensive to go in those days. And she rang me up saying, he doesn't speak with an English accent. I said, how can Spike not speak with an English accent? It's just wrong.
And I have to say that he's an excellent reader of books because I listened to a Jim Butcher's series of books, which are the Dresden Files, so the television series was actually based on that. And he reads them really well. It helps you get into the character, although he still doesn't do his English accent.
Oh, that's a bit of a shame.
So if you want to swoon over James Marsden in a different way, you'll find the audiobooks of Jim Butcher's series, The Dresden Files, to do that. But let's get back talking about the narrative of Buffy.
Yes. Well, the other thing is we need to talk about a bit about our interviewee and the villains of Buffy.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, Angel was an on and off one at different times.
Depending on his mood.
Whether his soul was in or out.
Exactly.
And you had James Marsden. You started off as a villain. And then you had the Master. And then you had lots of other strange and weird little things. And the thing I liked about it in some ways, it showed not only monsters as supernatural monsters, but it had human monsters as well. So people like the trio, who yes. were actually not supernatural in any way.
No, they were ordinary human beings.
Who could be monsters just the same way. So it was interesting to see that. It didn't flaunt its happiness all the way. I mean, Buffy's parents died.
Her mother died, yep.
We had lots of suffering because people died all the time in this show.
They did. And, you know, people very close to the main characters died. So main characters went through a lot of trauma in one way or another. With the very low dramatic periods, there were also some very funny, comedic sort of things.
Absolutely.
And a sing-along episode as well, which we'd never seen before.
Well, no, and I think Josh Whedon did a lot of innovative stuff with Buffy that hadn't been really done in mainstream television in that way before. There was that one where they didn't talk. A whole episode where nobody said anything.
With one of the scariest villains that I've ever had come across.
Because they almost, although they were supernatural, they almost weren't supernatural. You can imagine them being human people pursuing people and trying to rip their heart out. You know what I mean? So Josh Whedon was able to transverse psychological things that we form inside our head and that ferment and turn into crap. You know what I mean?
And you wonder whether writers from Supernatural might have been influenced by some of the stories of Buffy as well.
Sure they were. I think Buffy was an extremely large influence on Supernatural television. And I think it also helped bring that genre out. People who watched it maybe would go get the books and lots of other things. And you've got lots of strong women now fighting baddies and lots of television shows. And I think Buffy helped with that.
Oh, definitely.
So this brings us on to our baddie.
Yes.
Who in actual fact is a female baddie, one of the few female baddies.
That's it. And her name was Glory. And when you think of her, you think of her in this vivid red dress. She was a very sexual villain.
She was. And she liked bubble baths.
She did. And she liked chocolate. And she also liked to destroy people.
Yes. And she was weird as in that she had that alternate character flaw, which was a different persona and a different sex.
That's right.
So, that was it. And she had interesting little minions. And it was one of the times that Buffy died.
Yes.
So Glory caused her to die regardless of whether it was by her hand or not through circumstances.
She's almost on that psychotic, if she had been a human, because obviously she was a demon, she would have been on that verge of being, is this person really just psychotic or is she just...
She was psychotic. No, she was psychotic.
She was nuts?
She was a nut job, yeah. She was a total, utter nut job because... And the girl who played her, Claire Kramer, who we've got the interview with, played her extremely well because one minute she was really nice and the next minute she was a total nut job. And Claire is actually really nice.
She is really nice.
I think on that point we should let them listen to the interview. What
definitely.
What's it like to be one of the most beautiful girls in this building?
I rather enjoy it.
I bet you do. That's all from Melbourne.
And that's all. And signing out. That's my good friend Dilip. I love him.
There seems to be a lot of fun happening around here with all the guests.
Absolutely. I was just talking to Charisma about this. We said this is one of the greatest groups of people that we've had the chance to work with, and also one of the greatest groups of fans that we've had the chance to talk with. So it's been a really great 2 weeks here.
Is this your first time in Australia?
I actually was here in 2006, and when I was here, I first was in New Zealand for a week, and then I was in Sydney for a week, then I went up to Cairns for a week, and then I went to Papua New Guinea for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So I was here for quite a while. This is unfortunately a shorter trip for me. I fly back tomorrow.
Now, of course, probably we know you best from your role as Glory in Buffy.
Yes.
You were only that was a beginning role for you, was it, as an actress?
It was.
A substantial role?
Yes. Actually, I was cast in Bring It On, which was pretty much my first big feature project.
With
Eliza Dushku. Yes, that's correct. And shortly after we wrapped, I decided, hey, listen, why don't I stay in Los Angeles for a little bit and see how my luck turns? Seems like it's going pretty well here for me. I was living in New York City at the time. So I stayed and fortunately got the role of Glory on Buffy, and I just got it like anyone else would get a role. I went in, auditioned, went through the audition process, and turned out that day I kind of did something I guess they were looking for. So,
and is that how you got your role in True Calling as well, being friends with the part of
No, it wasn't friends with Eliza or anything like that. Just like any other situation, went in and auditioned.
Oh,
yeah.
It seems Josh though uses people that he's previously worked with.
He does like to use people again and again. So, you know, fingers crossed that someday I'll have the opportunity to work with him again.
Did you have much input into your character as Glory?
You know, creatively, there was artistic freedom in the way that she was delivering the lines and maybe the situations in terms of how she used her set and the objects around her. But in terms of the writing, that was pretty set in stone. They, you know, obviously have a very good team of writers on that show, and they knew what they wanted to get across and how they wanted to facilitate the storyline. So there wasn't a lot of play with that. But in terms of, like, creatively, you know, expressing, yes, there was room to experiment.
Well,
it's a fairly kick-ass character, isn't it? Did you have fun doing that?
Oh, yeah. It was a great... She was amazing. It was once in a lifetime to play a role like that, you know, honestly.
Did you have any training in stunt work or before that? Because it seemed a lot.
Not in stunt work. I mean, I was very... At the time I was playing Glory, I was very into boxing, and so I really feel like that was an asset that I brought to the character, the physical sort of, you know, strength. But in terms of the stunts, we had a great stunt coordinator, obviously a lot of great stunt doubles for myself and the rest of the cast, and they were kind enough to sort of let us do as much as we could as actors.
Now you, in the last couple of years, developed your own production company.
That's correct.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
You mentioned that you're really into boxing, and your last production actually is about one of the best non-boxers ever.
Correct. Mike Tyson. Yes, we started Defiance Entertainment a few years ago, and we're fortunate enough to co-produce the documentary Tyson with Yari Film Group, which, if you haven't seen it, will really change your perception on Mike Tyson. It's a very interesting piece, and kind of was part of what sort of revamped his image. So
why boxing?
Why did I enjoy boxing? Yeah. You know, I think it's one of those things in life. You just, for me, as an artist, I like to use my body. I like to keep in touch with everything. And I think that does add to me artistically. And boxing was just one of those sports that I kind of fell into. And I then just sort of fell in love with it.
So you're a boxer yourself?
Well, I don't really practice as much anymore. I'm on a big yoga kick at the moment.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I go for, you know, I'm equal opportunity. I go from one sport to the next. But at the time, yeah, I was very much into it.
And I believe you shoot a mean game of pool as well.
I do. I love, if you can't tell, I'm a little competitive.
Uh-huh.
I do love games of all sorts. I card games, board games, sport games. Yes, I love playing pool.
And with your production company, is it you're going to develop the backs, working in the behind the scenes a little bit more now rather than acting itself?
Well, I'm still full on into acting, but as an artist, I've really enjoyed, I've gotten the chance to write and direct a few things, short films, and I'm prepping to direct a feature that I've adapted from a book in the fall. And I've really... It's been great for me creatively to be able to put my stamp on the entire project and not just on one role. So in other words, you know, so often as an actor, I would see a performance and think, oh gosh, why did they cut those takes together? If they would have done this with my performance, they could have facilitated the storyline differently here or there. But as a director and a writer, I'm able to carry that vision through the entire project.
Do you think that's where your career will take you, to direction? Because you're really quite interested in that.
I am interested in it, and you know, I could only be so lucky to have another successful career as a director. Who knows? I would love to say yes, but we'll see, I guess.
Can you tell us a little bit about your new project?
You know what? I kind of can't, so.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Wait until it comes out.
Yeah, well, no, not that long, but if you catch me in a couple months, just call me or email me, and we'll chat about it.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, great.
Yeah.
So as a female in the industry, and certainly with a production company, do you find it a little bit more difficult to do things, or do you think that now it's been evened out a little bit and women have an easier chance of getting things done?
Well, I mean, versus 50 years ago, it's definitely evened out. But as you two know, life's not fair, and being a woman's not fair necessarily. So, you know, you take everything with a grain of salt and you just kind of forge ahead to the best of your own abilities, you know. Just like with minorities, so many times roles are written for Caucasian men, and that's the way, the voice of the story. And so as a director, I'd like to continue to tell those type of stories, but also introduce work that more focuses on females and different voices, you know, there.
Is the industry changing, or is it still you have to have a certain look as a woman, be a certain age?
You know, I think that there's always going to be those prejudices, because when people put millions and millions of dollars into a project that's created for the general public and not a specific demographic, most movies are not shot for only, you know, 10,000 people to see. They want to make millions and millions and open up multiple screens. So when you're looking at that broad of a demographic, they're not going to take a risk on casting a unique or different type character in a role. They want someone who the general audience will accept in the lead roles, like George Clooney, Leonardo DiCaprio. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's kind of where the art of indie filmmaking can come in.
And is that one of the reasons why you started your own company, do you think?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm sure just to have more of a creative voice and not be at the whim of someone else's opinion. If that makes sense.
No, it does absolutely make sense.
What's happening here?
Get out of here. This is my interview. See?
Dennis over here.
Love Dennis. Love him.
So is there any acting thing roles that you're going for at this stage? Or?
I am auditioning, and I have a couple things in the works. Nothing locked down, so I can't kind of, you know, I don't want to jinx anything. But yeah, no, definitely.
TV or film?
Both.
Both?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Another reason I have to fly back tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can't stay.
Claire, thank you so much for taking time out of this busy supernova.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I'm always, you know, excited to talk to other women in the industry. So thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
No, thank you very much. And we hope to see you down here in Australia again soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Let's do it.
You've been listening to Talk Sci-Fi with Jerry Donaldson and Eugenie Stapira. If you'd like to catch us in our fuller episodes on our podcast, Women Talk Sci-Fi, you can do so at www.womentalksci-fi.com. That's www.womentalksci-fi, all one word, .com. Thank you for listening. Title music performed by Box Cat Games, called Breaking In, available at thefreemusicarchive.org. Under Creative Commons license.